You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
So I hope you guys can be kind with me. This, as Ken said, is my first time being up here, and I'm going to try and be vulnerable with you guys. So I ask for a little bit of grace. So Dr. Martin Luther King, he's a father, a pastor, a teacher, a hero. He's this profound figure. So where do we start? Well, I was looking at what he meant to me, and that man there, to me growing up, just another man I read about in a history textbook. You see, the idea that someone would judge me differently because of the color of my skin was incomprehensible. The idea that there would be any corruption in our police force or our military was even more foreign to me. You see, I grew up in a little bubble where I was on a first-name basis for all the police officers. I went to a military school that I loved. I was out getting my Boy Scouts and working in the community, but I was only able to be there because I was living the dream that he spoke of in front of the Lincoln Memorial. I can go out and vote because he fought for it on Selma's Bridge, and I can be on this platform to speak to you because he died for it, because he died for me. There is no understating what this man has done, whether it's for me and my community, or it's for the world on the path towards love and equality. And yet, my gratitude was hollow when I was comfortable. So let me take you back. It was Halloween 2010. I was all dressed up in my ninja costume with my sister Milan and our friend Alan. And we're two blocks down the street from the house when we come across this man and his daughter. And when the man saw us, he didn't see kids in costumes. He didn't see neighbors from down the street. He saw a threat. In fact, he was so scared that he physically picked up his daughter and ran away from us. When you're 11, you don't have words for that. But you remember that. So I learned that day that racism is fear. And I felt it so many times. I have walked as eyes have stared at me from behind their blinds. I've been terrified as cars have slowed down to trail me through the neighborhood. The fear that they were experiencing has been instilled in me. And as I said, I was on a first name basis with the local police officers. And yet when I was walking to the store and a police car turned towards me, I flinched away in fear. It's in moments like those that you really see what's happening and you see the truth. That fear that the next time I go out those doors, I won't come home, it's real. It's real for me. It's real for my family. It's real for millions across the nation. And so when I look at the news right now, all I see is fear. Fear of a knock on the door. Fear because your neighborhood, your street, your home no longer feels safe. Whether it's flashing lights from a patrol car, an unmarked van in the driveway, or men walking around wearing masks, it's all the same. It's fear. So I want to be honest, while I was working on this talk, I was struggling a little bit. It's been difficult for me to figure out how to verbalize what I've been feeling. You know, even this last week, so I was going to work on my talk. I had a meeting with JD, and I had a little bit of time before, so I was going off to Home Depot to get some tools because I was going to work on some cables and I needed a few things. And so I rush in, I grab all the things I know I need, you know, the screwdrivers, the soldering, the soldering irons, getting new tips and all that. And I'm going to the self-checkout aisle. And I watch as the man in front of me goes to self-checkout, gets all his items, gets checked out, walks on out without an issue. But the woman who was working there saw me, came up, gently guided me by the arm to the kiosk, took all the items out of my arms, scanned them, and then asked me if I wanted to do that cash or credit. Well, normally, something like that doesn't really faze me. I tend to be really easygoing, and that kind of stuff happens all the time. But when I went to meet with JD to talk, I needed a little grounding. So I was looking through all of the documents I had on MLK. I was re-listening to his talks, and I was researching Unity Principle. And it was when I found the letter from Birmingham Jail that something really stood out to me. Dr. King said that he wasn't afraid of the word tension. He said, while he spoke out against violent tension, there is a type of constructive, nonviolent tension that is necessary for growth. And that really helped. And it felt like that was something I needed in that moment. And it also sounded familiar. So I kept rereading the document top to bottom over and over, finding more and more things that were sticking out to me. And it wasn't until I was reading this section that it clicked. He said that we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects us all indirectly. He was preaching Unity Principle. Principle one, if you're new or unaware, is that there's only one power and one presence active in the world and in my life. Meaning that each and every one of us is a part of that power and that presence. And it was even more profound as I continued to read that same quote, where he said, never again can we afford to live in the narrow provincial outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider. At the time, they were calling anyone who was protesting nonviolently or otherwise an outsider, a radicalist, an other. And Dr. King lived into that principle of agape love. The love that Ken talked about a couple of weeks ago in his talk. And it's one of the hardest things I think we'll ever have to do. Because it doesn't mean to let things go by or to make excuses for others. It doesn't mean that when I see injustice, I let it go by and pretend it's not happening. It means that when I stand for what I believe in, I have to stand and recognize that those who seem to oppose me deserve dignity, just like I do. So when I stand for the people who have been killed, and when I stand, when I stand for the people who have been killed, when I stand for due process, and when I stand so no man, woman, or child should have to live in fear of existing, I am doing so out of love and not fear. Yes. And so every day we have to choose whether or not we're going to let our fear consume us, let it turn us bitter and hard, or to do as Dr. King did and live into the principle of love. And it's amazing because as I was going through the talk, and if you were here last time, you may remember this, he gave us tools for that. Tools to stand in love, and the tools to use that love and understanding to create change. So I'm going to say a few quotes of his, and I added one word in between the quotes, four, so you can see how they go together. He said, let no man pull you so low as to hate him. Four, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Four, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. If I go out to the man who fears me with agitation and rage and vitriol, I reinforce his fear. I reinforce that division and make it easy for him to separate me from my humanity. It's the standing in that love and that compassion that changes hearts and changes the world. So I want to ask, can we have compassion for parents that are afraid for their children? Can we have compassion for the families watching behind their blinds? Can we have compassion for those who impinge upon our character for factors outside of our control? Because as Dr. King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco, and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.